The meeting is convened at 7:43 Central Time. I am Susan Young. This is the meeting of the PNB Audit Committee as of May 16th, 2023. Madam Secretary, would you be kind to take the roll? Or do you want me to call?
I'm doing it. Here we go. Okay, Fred Blair.
Present.
Sarah Brown.
Present.
Chris Corey. Jim Tinman.
Here.
Sue Goodwin. Wally James.
Here.
Zach Haldemir will not be here. Allie Lexa will join us soon. Catherine O'Sullivan. Not here. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Marilyn Voigt Downey.
Marilyn, you're muted, Marilyn.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Egberto, he'll be here soon, and Susan Young, chair.
Here.
And I believe we have Stephanie Wells, the ED, on the call.
And right. Kim Kaufman, the secretary.
Yes, I am Kim Kaufman, the secretary, not a member.
Excellent. So what I'd like to do is to request for people to, or ask people to let us know if you're requesting an excused absence. And Sarah, I would say that why don't we record you as having requested an excused absence for the last meeting?
Thank you very much.
Is there any objection to recognizing Sarah Brown as having an excused absence last meeting? Hearing none, that will be reflected in the minutes. Zach Haldemir has requested an excused absence because he is dealing with a medical issue. Is there any objection to Zach's absence being excused? Hearing none, that will be reflected in the minutes. And so those who are not who have not excused absences and who don't arrive late will not be recognized. Approve the agenda. The agenda is called to order. Roll call. Approve agenda. Minutes approval for April 17th. Report from Stephanie on audit progress and the CPB submission. Non-disclosure agreement and consent for electronic transmission. Prepare for the FY 2023 audit, which is the one that would be conducted after the end of our fiscal year this year. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay. Ah, Egberto, welcome.
Hello.
Share dinner with us, please. Okie dokie. So I understand that committees, we don't need a second. Is there any objection to approving the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Minutes approval for April 17th. They were distributed previously. Thank you, Kim. Is there a motion to approve?
Fred moves to approve the minutes of April 17th.
Wonderful. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I don't think I got a copy of those, but I certainly would be grateful if somebody send me a copy of those, but I don't see where that should hold up anything.
Thank you. And understanding that minutes can always be amended at some time in the future. Therefore, I see no objection to approval for the minutes.
Chair, Sarah, I sent them out last night. Sent the minutes and the agenda out last night, if that's any help.
Thank you very much. I'll look for them. Thank you.
Oh, Susan?
Okay. Yes.
I didn't get anything. I had to call Otis up to get the email link. And I think that a lot of other people, I think Catherine O'Sullivan and some of these other people might not have got anything at all. And so, I mean, that's obviously a problem that can be taken care of. But I'd make
a motion to
excuse everybody who is presently viewed as not being attending this meeting, because I didn't get, he's told me it went up 7 o'clock. I didn't see anything in all my emails, including spam.
So, Jim, we will confirm that people have the right email addresses. If they are not attending because they're not attending, rather than they didn't receive it, it should not be counted as an excused absence in my book.
As I said earlier, if people are not getting their emails, they should contact Otis and make sure that he has the correct email information.
Right.
That's usually the reason people don't get those notices, because they're automated from KPFTX.
This is the chair. I mean, yes. This is the secretary, Madam Chair.
Yes.
It may be more manageable if people who have not received it contact me, and I can check with Otis to keep the list straight. And I will check during the meeting as we're talking to see who is on and not on in a few minutes.
And may I also request that those who were from a station where someone is not attending reach out to that person to confirm that we've got the correct contact information. So that would be Sarah Brown for Sue Goodwin. That would be Darlene for KPF for Chris Corey. And who else do we have? Those are, I think, our Catherine O'Sullivan. And so, Jim Dingman, will you check in with her?
Well, I just did. And I also called Sue up to try to get her, and they weren't around. So that's that.
Okay. So now we're at report from Stephanie. Stephanie, will you tell us the status of the audit, whether we have engaged the auditor yet, any communications that have been ongoing, the legal setting that we have for being late, and also the hard work done to submit for CPB funding. Stephanie, take it away.
Thank you. We have, I believe I mentioned this last time, but we have signed the engagement letter with Rogers and Company for our auditors for this upcoming audit. We've had communication with them, both Markeisha, the national business manager, and myself, just to keep in touch, but they have not been engaged to start as of yet because the total amount of the audit is $75,800. And we need half of it, which is $37,900, due at the start of the audit, and then the remaining half of $37,900 due 30 days after the start. We don't have the funding to engage them at this time. We have not started, but they have been very generous with their time as far as sending us their timeline of work and discussing what we need and materials that we need and everything. Forward. So sort of behind the scenes, we have been working, are able to have the funds forward. It will be ready to go. As far as delaying, since we know that we will be delayed with the completion of our audited financial statements, the deadline to file is 9 months after the close of our fiscal year. Since our year is October 1st through September 30th. It would place our deadline for the audit to be completed by June 30th. I have already reached out to the California Attorney General, the Charitable Trust, and explained to them that we are requesting an extension. I've let them know that we have engaged an audit firm, but we haven't begun the audit due to financial constraints, and let them know that we are in the process of filling a petition and our intention those proceeds from that sale to pay for our annual audit. So they have responded basically saying that they received the request for an extension, and they said that someone from the an analyst will be contacting me if necessary, or they will go ahead and send me the extension and the days, and we're almost at the 60-day mark because I requested a 60-day.
Stephanie, your audio is dropping out at points.
Okay. I apologize for that. Not too sure why. So basically, I have already reached out to the Attorney General's Office of Charitable Trust to request that extension, and their response to me was that an analyst would be contacting me anywhere between 30 to 60 days, and we're almost at the 60-day mark, so I will be continuing to reach out to them, and I've sent them an email with the request and also a hard copy letter as well. So that's where we are with the audit and the audit firm and the Attorney General's office. And then with the CPB, we did submit our CPB application on the due date, which was May 8th. And now they received it. They downloaded all the attachments because we had quite a few exhibits that needed to be attached as well. So I did get confirmation the application was received and confirmation that they were able to download all of the exhibits. And they will have someone from CBP contact me prior to October of this year. That's it for my report.
Are there questions for Stephanie?
I have one question.
Go ahead. Is that Fred?
That's Fred, yes.
Please, go ahead.
Is it possible for the next audit meeting to invite our auditor to the meeting to fill us in on the beginning of the audit?
I can definitely extend an invitation.
Will that be too early to talk to them, or have they assigned somebody to us already?
Somebody has been assigned to us already. I am not too sure if bringing them into a meeting would start the actual engagement or the commencement of the audit. So I will double check with them to see, but I will definitely extend an invitation.
Thank you.
Hey, Sarah, you've got your hand up.
Yes, I'd just like to ask a quick question, probably because somewhere I lost trans.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Excuse me. Anyway, could I ask?
Okay, is that committee member is not authorized to vote or to speak, okay?
Anyway, so in fact, we do have, and we have engaged the auditor, or we have not engaged the auditor pending a payment of the first payment of half of their price. I kind of lost the thread there.
The engagement letter has been signed, so it's basically we have them on hold. So we have agreed to use the firm to do our audit for 2022, but the audit itself has not started, because we need to pay half of the total amount due at the start of the audit.
So, but that's an ongoing process. I mean, we intend to pay them what they need to get started. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So we can say that it's been signed, we're ready to roll, as they say in the Old West.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And Sarah, just a quick note from last meeting, as you have not had the chance to read the minutes. The motion that we approved was requesting or recommending to the PNB that they authorize the executive director to move forward on engaging this firm that had served as our auditor before, because they're up and running and because there's no prohibition against continuing to work with the same auditor. Okay, I'd like to recognize that I think Allie Lex is here. Allie, would you meow your way onto the recording?
Hello, everyone.
Thank you. You missed roll call. You missed Stephanie's report. And Stephanie, could you give a quick thumbnail?
Yes, quick thumbnail. We have signed the engagement letter with our company, Rogers and Company, who will be doing our audit. They have not commenced the audit as of yet because we need to pay half of the total amount that is due at the start. The total amount of the audit is $75,800. So as soon as we give them the go-ahead to begin, we will need to pay them $37,900. And then once we start the audit, the remaining balance of $37,900 will be due 30 days after the start. I've already connected with the California Attorney General's office requesting an extension, and they will be responding to me within 30 to 60 days. And we're almost at that 60-day mark, so I continue to follow up with them. And we successfully submitted the CPB application on May 8th.
Okay, thank you very much for the repeat, Stephanie. The next agenda item is the non-disclosure agreement and consent for electronic transmission. We are not having an executive session this evening, so the urgency of that is not pressing. There was a recommendation that came out of another committee, the Elections Committee, and I contacted Stephanie about it, and that was rather than having all committees gathering and having to record NDAs and the electronic transmission permissions, that there should be single repositories and that those would be at the local station boards with the secretaries. So that, I think, is a matter that should be decided by the PNB, and I hope we get guidance from them about it. Okay, prepare for the FY 2023 audit, September 30th, fiscal year end, FY 2023 audit to proceed after that. What I'd like to do is to get sort of thoughts from the committee today and in the future about how the steps that we need to take to be on track for timely audits. And then also another matter that I would like for us to address are management about deficiencies identified in management, in letters to management, and keeping a tally on what those are and management steps to address those. Are there thoughts right now about these issues or recommendations? Several of you have served on the audit committee before. I think that Marilyn did, Fred did, I believe Darlene did. So Kim did.
I think I did too.
Okay, Sarah. So if there are recommendations, please come forward with them.
Can I speak? Madam Chair, I request permission to speak.
Please, go ahead.
One of the things I thought that this is a pretty pedantic activity we do every year. I mean, we're going to do this every year. We look for approximately the same things every year. So I was wondering, and probably because I worked for government for a long time, why there isn't an SOP that just sort of guides us along the way in case people get lost and, you know, sucked into the vortex of constant arguing about minutia, that there isn't some document that says do this, and this, and change it slightly depending on the way the wind's blowing that particular year. Is that too hard?
So I think that there are two sets of people to ask about that. Mm-hmm. Those who have been on the audit committee before, and Stephanie. I think some of us hope that Nita might help us with that. But to my knowledge, the SOP has not been achieved or written. Marilyn, we've got three hands up. Marilyn, then Kim, then Fred.
Yes, as I recall, Well, I'm sure. They're at past audit committee meetings and past audits. The representative from the audit company who came did have a list of what was every station and needed to have and present. And we had a big issue over whether, in cases where there were deficiencies, the audit committee members from that station should work to help, should put pressure on or facilitate the correction of the deficiencies. And that was rejected by Rogers and Company as not useful. So I don't know what would be different now than what was the case before. The reason I'm getting down like this is because I have trouble with my speaker and people can't hear me if I don't get near the speaker. Sorry.
Thank you. Other comments, Kim?
Well, the reason this might be on the agenda is because there was a discussion of getting a new audit firm for next year. So mm-hmm. that is why this is on here now, because that needs advanced planning. The rest of it doesn't, we don't really have anything to do with the rest of it. You know, and an auditor is engaged. They tell, you know, the ED what the stations need to produce, and we don't have anything to do with that. But I'm just saying, if you want to hire a new auditor for the coming fiscal year, you kind of got to start now to have, you know, put out a request for proposals, and review them, interview them, see if they're available, and get someone. So that's that.
And let me just suggest that I suggest this be a review of the audit engagement. I know from some of the efforts that we've been trying to do with different kinds of services that Pacifica's difficulties have sometimes limited who would be willing to work with us. Fred.
Hey, let me clear my throat. Well, obviously the 900-pound gorilla in the room here is money. All our problems revolve around money, because 90% of the work of the audit, or probably 99% of the work of the audit, is done by our financial staff and the auditor. And right now, the problems are our financial staff that we've had to, I think we have two financial staff and Stephanie, all revolve around money. We don't have the money to hire sufficient financial staff. The reason that we lost Nita as our financial staff is because we couldn't pay them. So the issue is money, and I don't know if this committee can do much about that directly. That's an issue for the for management and for the board of directors and for the LSBs. Being frank about it. But Kim is right. If we're going to hire a new audit firm, we have to start preparing for that and doing it between the period, between the end of the audit and the beginning of the next audit next year. So that's the only words of wisdom I have. I'll end it at that point. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Darlene.
It seems to me that what has happened in the past is an audit finally gets done. It's very late, but it gets done. It often gets done after the end of the next fiscal year. And the committee that's seated just sort of like, well, we did our audit, and then there's going to be LSB elections, and then there are going to be PNB committee members. And those people aren't going to be seated until March. And then we're 3 months away from the next deadline. And as you saw here and a couple other committees, they did not get started in a reasonable amount of time. Personnel still hasn't met, even for their convening meeting. And that happens across the board. You know, everybody's gotten elected for one cycle. And if we start another cycle, well, you know, we won't be able to finish it, us who are sitting right there. So it just falls to the wayside.
So what I if I could just comment, what I'm hearing is that we should start the process of reviewing or considering a new audit engagement, and we should start that at the beginning of the new fiscal year. So that would be October. That providing ourselves a timeline to get on track for 2023 and future years might be the critical element in an SOP, because it's just, we're not doing the basics. And so perhaps we have those two things as a goal for the committee, in addition to supporting the audit process as soon as there is the financial wherewithal to get them started. Okay, Kim.
With all due respect, if you start looking for an auditor in October, it's too late. They're already booked up for the following, for that year, you know, and it'll take months, you know, especially if this committee meets once a month, it takes months to go through the process. So I think October starting to look for someone new is way too late.
So Kim, when do you recommend that we start that? I appreciate your advice.
Well, we're in May. Our next meeting is June.
So how about...
Now, let me just say, I personally, although I believe Fred has been part of that procedure, so one of the few things I've never been involved in is getting a new auditor. So I'm not sure. There must be language for an RFP somewhere, and I don't even know where to place that. And then, you know, what do you have, a month to wait for them to come in? Then you have to, everybody reviews them and decides who they want to pick, and they may not want to work with us, you know, as well. So this just seems it'll take, I don't know, maybe Fred will have a better estimation, but probably 4 or 5 months.
So
and
perhaps,
it would be good to have somebody engaged by October. I mean, back in the day, we used to start our audits in October after the close of the fiscal year.
Got it.
We started maybe November after the actual close, you know, take a couple of weeks. So I'm just saying that's.
So Fred or anybody else on the committee, and Fred, I see you've got your hand up and want to talk. And Darlene, is your hand up or is that a legacy hand?
I'm going to call it still up.
Okay, great. So Fred, and if anybody has go-bys for our, and I think it should be an RFQ. It's not a bid.
Can I speak up? I can provide you with the request for a quote that I and the committee, the audit committee, wrote up in 2012 as a starting point. And what the process that we used in 2012 took about 2 months. And that process involved, you know, collecting a bunch of, you know, candidate audit firms, you know, contact information on those. And basically, I, as the chair of the audit committee, called up those firms to see if they would be interested in receiving a request, you know, giving us a quote on their services. And after we had collected about, you know, 4 or 5 firms that were candidates, or maybe 6, you know, they we waited then to get, you know, I sent them the request for quote, and they sent us quotes for their services. And then the committee, you know, a sub committee or the subcommittee of the audit committee went over those quotes and narrowed them down to three, you know, final candidates, which we did audio interviews with. And then we made a selection, a final selection at that point. That so all took, Fred, about, that took about 2 months.
So Fred, a couple of questions. And then I'll go back.
So I would suggest that we start on that process maybe at, you know, in mid-June or July. I can provide you with the request for quote that I generated, and you can then use that as a template, you know, to make create your current request.
So Fred, would you be kind to provide that to the committee, and we can address it in June? I can get input from everybody and then send out the request. Let me ask you a question. Did you pick the firm on the basis of fee, or did you pick them on the basis of overall qualifications, including fee?
The selection process was was about six members of the committee, and it was an overall, you know, evaluation of both, you know, the cost and other factors. You know, I couldn't say any one factor, you know, ended up being the selection criteria.
So my point is, it wasn't a low bid contract. It was a qualification. All right, let me go back to the stack. Darlene, then Sarah, and then Kim again.
Yeah, I'd like to go over the authority of this committee as opposed to how the general manager plays into this. I can't tell you how badly I just cringed at the idea of what Fred said. Oh, the audit, the people on the committee interviewed the audit bidders, and I thought, with what qualifications do people make these sit on these decision-making bodies? And where's the general manager in all this, or the national business manager? So I would just like that review before we, I don't know, put something in writing.
Can
I respond?
Hold on a minute, Fred. Hold on. Let's go down the stack of questions and then come back to that. So Sarah?
Well, I'm probably out of turn at this particular point, but I was going to ask if Fred could write down the steps he took as an initial point of departure and we could meld those, and I'd be glad to work with him into a draft SOP. So then we would have this procedure that we could start to compare the times when we should start or when it's too early or it's too late, and get some kind of idea for next year. But maybe I'm interjecting that request early because I hear other concerns here and I don't understand them.
Okay, Kim.
Okay, first of all, I was going to say that any bid that any auditor makes without knowing what Pacifica is about is just making up stuff, because they have no idea what our audits are like until they get here. And Rogers, you know, they've done a number of them, so they know, but our audits historically are a lot more difficult than any auditor expects. So a bid is not, you know, the real price. And let me just respond to Darlene. I did send out, I can send it out again, the bullet points of the legislation of the California Nonprofit Integrity Act of 2004. And these are laws that govern how nonprofits handle audits. And it is, there is, by law, has to be a separate audit committee in an organization with over $2 million in revenue, which is us. And no, the business manager or the CFO nor the ED have a hand in selecting the auditor, because the auditor's function is to be an independent auditor who basically audits the work of the business manager, the CFO, and the ED. So it is, it, by law, the audit committee or the PMV, you know, can, you know, ultimately sign off on it. But it's this requirement of this committee to at least gather a pool. If you want to run it by the PMV, that's okay. But it cannot be management who chooses who's going to audit them. Did I answer all your questions, Darlene? And as for interviewing, I don't know. I've seen them go okay over the years. They pretty much managed to come up with decent people for as long as I've been around. You might want to check with Eileen, because I know she was involved in hiring, I think, Rogers. Fred was involved in hiring Armenino, and there was another place in between. So, you know, there's that.
Let me keep going down the list. Fred?
Thank you. Yes, the firm that we hired in 2012 was Armenino, which turned out to be, I think, the largest audit firm in California or maybe the United States. And the engagement letter that we got from them didn't quote us a total cost for the audit, but gave us hourly rates for the different, for the auditors, for the, you know, the for the CPAs, our CPAs, and even for the Xerox people at the firm. So it's real, you know, the total cost was up to the our chief financial officer, Pacifica's chief financial officer, to keep that under control. But we didn't have a very formal process to answer Sarah for making the selection. Basically, it was a group selection that we interviewed three finalists, you know, audit firms. We then, you know, had a private discussion to discuss, you know, the different factors and the trade-offs between the different firms. And we made a selection, and we've made what we thought was the best selection for Pacifica. We then passed that on to the, you know, to the PNB to make the final okay. But we did the work, and there was a fair amount of work involved in doing that. So I'll provide what documents I have from that period. It was 10 years ago, and we can use that as a starting point. But I know, as Kim has said, I think we should start the process of selection as soon as possible, because if there are problems, we need time to work those out. Thank you.
Great. Jim Dingman.
Thank you. I want you to know, by the way, Sue is on the phone call now.
Oh, great. Sue, would you mind just speaking out for the recording?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much for being here,
okay.
Sue.
Okay.
Okay, great. Jim, continue.
All right. Well, I've read all these audits from the inception of this process, and I always felt that the decision makers on this committee did a decent job. And yes, it is, as Kim reiterated, it's very difficult for the average auditing outfit to deal with the kind of stuff they have to deal with here, which is exacerbated by how sometimes people decide to make brownie points or political points by roasting those auditors in unfair ways, as far as I'm concerned. My personal feeling, given everything that's going on right now, is it's essential to get this done as fast as possible. I personally would just as soon go with someone we already used and not dilly-dally around. And then perhaps down the road, decide to, in the next year's iteration, you know, okay, it makes sense to change every once in a while. But right now, it's so crucial to get the FSRs done and keep the momentum up, not only for the CPB, but for everything, including our ability to get funding and grants, which is absolutely incumbent on that process. And we've lost out for 10 years on that problem, given all the stupidity, frankly, that was done about that. So I think, you know, I don't want to sit there and get caught up in unnecessary bureaucratic stuff. I have faith in the judgment of the people in the past. They selected people that did a good job, and I appreciate the work that they did in the past.
So, Jim, you're raising the threshold issue of, is this the time to start looking for possible new auditors, or is that something that should be done in advance of the 2024 audit? And because we're behind, because we have grants that we won't need to seek, that it would be more efficacious for us to have the expectation of continuing with the current auditors for 2023, for this current year and for 2023. Is that what your recommendation is?
My recommendation is, as you know, the whole problem of this is lack of resources. I mean, we should have had completed FSRs, or, you know, I know Stephanie must have mentioned this, she wasn't able to include them in the CPB application. So my recommendation would be, I don't want to start jumping the gun. These guys seem to know how nuts we are with all this stuff, and I think it's good to stay with them for a bit rather than to go jump the gun and search for somebody else, because I don't see really anything that was shocking. I mean, people made a big deal about the viability, the going concern stuff. I mean, I think every single audit I've looked at from the inception of this new governance system always said something like that. So what's new about that? Nothing. We just have to figure out how to turn it around. So I'd be, yeah, sure. I think I just don't want to make it, you know, a focus of people who might replace us all of a sudden think, oh my God, we should go and focus in on getting a new auditor. I just soon have stability in this function for a while, at least another 2 years. And then maybe think about it if we think it's necessary. I don't see these guys as being corrupt. Some people are trying to make a big mountain out of a molehill. Unnecessary. You know, this is absolutely essential for us to get this done. And the only reason we're not being able to get it now is the lack of resources. Simple as that.
So let me just clarify the recommendation out of this committee and the motion that was approved by the PNB is to continue with these auditors for the current audit that's underway. No change. There have been some people have said, well, you should change auditors every 5 years or whatever. There is no hard and fast rule. So Kim is bringing up the question of, do we want to entertain that issue for the next audit? And if we do, we need to start those preparations right away. I will tell you, Jim, that I personally agree with you. I think we're fortunate to have these people. You can rotate the audit partner, and having continuity and people who know how difficult we are to work with, I think is very important. Okay, Fred, you got your hand up.
Yeah. Pacifica's got bigger problems than the audit. Pacifica's got to deal with those first, and that has to do with the money situation. If we had money, we can fix all these things. Without it, we're dying. That's all I have to say.
So let me ask if it is the sense of the committee that we not focus on changing auditors for 2023, that we look at that, whoever is the committee, that we look at that sometime in the future.
I have Darlene. My hand up on that. Yeah. I think we should not concern ourselves with finding new auditors, but the question had come up earlier of what kind of process and procedure that do we have. And it would behoove us, this particular committee, as we end our term of service, to have in place for the next committee, you know, the process. When and why and how do you do this thing called hiring an audit firm and you know, help the next group out?
I think that's, I think it goes back to Sarah's point of SOPs, you know, with her governmental overlay.
Yeah.
Jim, you've still got your hand up.
Yeah, I agree with Darlene about this. The more we can learn about the more effective ways to do this and just leave that as SOP, was regarded, just referred to for the future folks, because this is, you know, it's important to get this process done. And as we all know, this particular process was screwed up for quite a long time. And of course, as Fred raised the issue, lack of money. So, you know, I think that I don't want to sit and spend a lot of time wasting energy looking for somebody when, you know, the person we're dealing with is familiar with all the ins and outs of what we're doing. And, you know, the main focus should be on how we can fiscally recover the whole organization as opposed to jumping ship in the midst of a very fragile kind of situation, moving from one lifeboat to another lifeboat. I find that ridiculous.
So it seems to me that the work we're going to do between now and the June meeting is consider what an SOP framework might look like for the timeline for doing our regular audits and a procedure at such time that the audit engagement is being reviewed. Does that sound right? Okay, I don't like to extend.
Can you define what SOP stands for?
Standard operating procedure.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like policies and procedures. So I prefer to not extend meetings. Are there more issues that people wish to address? Sarah, you got your hand raised?
One last little comment. Thank you very much. Yeah, SOPs are even better than just rules and regulations. They're kind of like the how-to book, you know, the handbook. You remember the Daffy Duck's nephew's kids had a scout's handbook that told them how to do everything in the world. Well, probably not that old. But anyway, it's taking all the knowledge that Fred just talked about, the little procedures, the thought processes that he thought about, the little considerations, and trying to put those into some sort of pedantic steps that people should think about as they go along doing it. It doesn't tie people to those processes. It just merely says, hey, if you're void and in a vacuum here and you just don't know how to do it, follow these steps. And for people that know how to do it, it's that you forgot to do this, you forgot to do that. It's just a handy dandy thing. And if it's written properly, I'm going to shut up. I'm sorry, I'm taking so much time.
No, Sarah, I think that's really important. And distinct from policies and procedures are more regulatory, whereas what you're offering is a cookbook, which is handy for the committees to be able to access so they know where in the heck they are in the process from year to year. And we don't have the whole dreadful gap that Darlene has talked about where committees don't get activated and you don't know who's on them. Jim.
Yeah, I would just say if folks have access to like Kim and other things to stuff that deals with this, lay it on. Lay it on, baby. You know, I'm a fast reader. I'll read as much as I can, and I want to learn as much as I can about this because we know how important these audits are for the survivability of Pacifica in general. They have to be backed on a regular basis so we can have regular order with getting external funds and external sources of financing aside from our listener members who've been so loyal. We just can't put the burden on them continually the way we do.
Okay. Chair.
Yeah.
The other thing is we need to, in some way, have it understood up front. This is a legal requirement. This isn't an opinion. This isn't a new thing we make up every year when you get elected to the audit committee. It's a legal requirement. And that, you know, and that's one of the reasons it gets relied on so much by funding sources, because it has, you know, it has that, you know, those kinds of stipulations on what it is. So, yeah, that needs to be up front that, hi, glad you ran for the audit committee. Let's make a plan. Or, you know, or okay, kids, let's go out in the barn and put on a play. No. Thank you.
No, there are standard auditing procedures, and you need people who meet those standards. And that, as you say, is why they are relied upon by funders and others. Okay, I believe in short meetings worth an hour. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Oh, one last thing, Madam Chair, if I might.
Yeah.
If Fred would like to work with me offline on this project and take this on, I would, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be sucked into finishing up my project from Africa. But after that, I'll be available. I'll make myself available to start to just grab ideas out of the air and start putting them pen to paper if he'd like to work with me.
Fred, are you up for that?
Well, let's communicate and see how much in work is involved, okay?
Okay,
and I think that there are other resource people as well, Kim and Eileen and so forth, so people may want to contribute to that effort. Once again, is there a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Is there any objection? Yeehaw, we adjourn.
Thank you,
all.
Susan.
Huh?
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye,
I'm
everyone.
Goodbye.
Nice to see people.